This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bagels and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fresh episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the venomous Richard Early. Rich, how are you doing tonight?
I don't know. Are you the avenging Josh?
What? I could be.
Yeah. So, how's it going,
Josh? Test me. I'm doing well. I am here and ready to record some podcasts.
Yeah, and we're just getting started. And I'm tapping on buttons on Facebook that I don't understand because they've changed things apparently. And I don't know. We could bring our watchers like on video. I don't even know what that means. But
You get weird requests from Rich tonight while you're watching us on the stream, don't take it too close to heart. Or be terrified by it,
yeah.
Or whatever the appropriate response might be.
I think terrified is the correct response. We should introduce Darren.
Oh, okay. We are joined by the one and only Darren Gregson.
Hello, everybody.
And we are here to talk about
Fresh Start.
Thank you for taking
Marvel Fresh Start.
Thanks for taking Rich's cue, because apparently wasn't picking up on it.
It said swipe left for comments or reactions, and it wasn't letting me, so dang it, I'm playing with my toys. Yeah, no, we're here for... Whoa, hey, I don't know what just happened. But why? The world just went crazy.
This is great material right here.
Great material. Two things. First of all, we are here for our monthly podcast recordings time. If you are unfamiliar with how we do this, about once a month we get together, record a bunch of episodes on Twitch, so you can watch, and Facebook, so you can watch those as they happen, which so far is not something you should be doing, apparently. But then the other thing is about every Monday morning we drop a new episode onto our stream through our website and iTunes. So always something new for you to watch. So
yes.
And tonight we're kicking things off with a special comic podcast. And this is great. Okay. So I think I got this working now. It's us and Brad so far. So great. Okay. Brad, if you want to come on live, you can apparently, even though we don't know what that means. So. All right. So, Marvel Fresh Start. We have sat here for, what episode are we on? 220-something?
219, I think. Around there, 220?
I would guess the two things we've talked about the most over all those episodes are either Magic the Gathering, and not as much lately, but just over time, right?
Yeah.
Or Marvel Comics relaunches. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that that's the case. Don't you guys think so?
Yeah, that's a good point, Rich. I never thought of it. But yeah, valid.
But I don't mean that. I mean, it sounds very cynical of me because to be honest with you, I'm extremely enthusiastic about this one, and I wanted to do this podcast to talk about why that is. Because if you're sitting there and you're thinking like that joke I just made, if you're feeling like that, that's what you're feeling about Fresh Start. We get it. We were right there with you when we first saw it, like, oh no, Marvel number ones, Like last year, we did the X-Men and Humans podcast, we did all the Legacy podcasts, we did all that stuff, right? And I'm sure the year before that we were doing Marvel All New Now number one.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So, so we've all been through it. We all keep coming back and going through the same thing. And, there was all this push with Legacy and this hope that Legacy would be different. And I mean, it wasn't. It was the biggest failure of a promotion that I've seen in 25 years from a major comic company.
Well, how long did it actually go? Because I remember, leading up to it, and we all read the Cap Hydra storyline all that kind of stuff, which I was totally into, and I thought it was fantastic, and it seemed like it was a great bridge into something new. And then, you guys know me. I don't have a ton of comics in my box these days. Then suddenly it was like, oh, and now there's Marvel Fresh Start. And I'm like, what did I miss here? Yeah. Because
I think 7 months, roughly, in my head.
Want to say hi to Jen, Amanda, and Troy also. But,
okay.
I
think it lasted about 7 months. October it started, I think?
The one shot came out either the last week in September or the first week in October. And then they started all the all the books after that. So, I mean, the one thing is that, that Legacy isn't exactly over. I mean, we're looking at Avengers number one.
Yep.
On the camera
Avengers
right now.
Number one.
There are only two books out so far for Fresh Start, and we'll explain what Fresh Start is and what it's all about. But Legacy, so the Avengers, if you notice, there are two number boxes on this one. And by the way, one of the most common problems when people call up and ask to sell comics is I'll ask them, well, what numbers of Batman do you have? And they have no idea, you know. So,
yeah.
But on most comic covers, there's just one issue number. On these, there's two. So there's the number one, but there's also LGY, number 691. So if you had collected Avengers from the beginning, if you were really old, older than me even, and you had bought every issue of Avengers every month since 1963 or whatever, you would be buying your 691st issue. But if you're a brand new reader and you want to start somewhere because you've seen the movies and all that kind of stuff, you're buying issue number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is kind of a good morph. It's been tried before, but Josh, you're sort of the, you know, you're not the comic insider, as you were saying, you know, like, what do you think of that number combination?
I think it's really smart. I mean, you know, we've talked a number of times on this podcast about how that's a barrier to a lot of people is the numbers and not knowing where to jump in and seeing, you know, if they only saw 691 on this particular issue, they would think, oh, there's 690 books before this that I'm so far behind on. But having a numbering start at, you know, to indicate the beginning of a story arc, and I'm not sure exactly if this is like, here's Fresh Start number one, and it's going to keep building from there, but my hope, mm-hmm. I didn't do any research on this, you can tell.
No, we don't, but they don't
but,
know.
But my hope here is that this particular arc will run for, we'll just say, you know, 12 issues. So there's 1 through 12, and the legacy numbering goes up as it does. And then when they start the next arc, it'll be, you know, issue one, or if they can do like season or something, you know, that's kind of been the thing that I think would make the most sense. Because, you know, if we look at it in terms of like television, again, something we've talked about on this podcast before, people can jump in at the beginning of a season and they feel like they're able to get in on a show. And the same thing, it works with story arcs in comics, but people don't know that necessarily because if they're not familiar with the media and the format. And so having, you know, here's issue 1 through 12 of this, here's issue 1 through 18 of the next one or whatever, you know, if there's some way to indicate that, that seems like the smartest idea to me, but no one at Marvel asked.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what their plan is from here. If this is just Fresh Start is going to be 1 through 800 if they don't reboot it again.
Well, I would guess, first of all, like, giving the legacy, your idea plus the legacy number contextualizes the position in the series for those, for that run then, right?
Right.
So I would think maybe, you know, we've got Jason Aaron coming on to the Avengers, and many of you may have read a lot, you know, Jason Aaron's been around for quite a while, most famous recently for the long-running Thor run, but Darren books like Scalped and Southern Bastards,
yep.
And
yep.
You've probably read a Jason Aaron comic if you're a 10 or 15 year comic reader, and you know he. So I wonder if it'll be based on like his run. You know, if he did 50 issues, they'd number all those.
Oh, sure.
And then when he's done with the book, that's when it could start over at a new number one, but keep that legacy numbering. I mean, I have no idea. So one thing about Fresh Start. Let's say what Fresh Start is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvel Fresh Start is a very simple initiative this time, and I think the name is very intentional. There has been a very poisonous attitude, right, wrong, or otherwise, about comic books the last 2 or 3 years, and Marvel has been right in the centerpiece of it. You can attribute that to whatever you want. If you want to say that it's politics, if you want to say that it's competition in the marketplace, if it's competition outside the market, say whatever you want. Marvel has gotten themselves in the middle of a mess, right? When you use the term fresh start versus anything else, like mm-hmm. we usually get these things like
Rebirth.
And New 52 and All New Marvel Now, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I take Fresh Start as like, hey, we kind of know we haven't been giving you the product you want, right? But this is, we want you to trust us and give us a chance. And so rather than a big name, we got this name, just Fresh Start. You know, it's mm-hmm. simple, it's subtle, it's not some big bold thing, and it's sort of just saying to fans, yeah, we know, you know, we realize, and we want to get back, and we want to just try it again. So it's not as direct as Dan Didio actually apologizing before DC Rebirth, which was awesome. But it is kind of like that. I mean, Darren, I don't know what you think, Darren, of the name, but that's the
yeah,
way I would kind of describe it.
Definitely. And they're not, I mean, it's not even branded on the front of the comic. I mean, you know, so mm-hmm. that gives an indication, the subtlety in which they're pushing this. You know, they're saying there's something different, but we're not, you know, it's just... Yeah, it's not nothing, like Rich said, it's nothing, like, it's not a big initiative, it's just subtle, and we're renumbering the books, and we're keeping the legacy number, but we're changing the teams, we're changing the creative teams, which one of the things, the complaints about Legacy is they didn't really change any of the creative teams.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of changes coming in the Marvel books, and it's going to generate, like, you know, maybe some more interest in the titles that, you know, you might have felt gone off track a little bit. So
I heard Brian Hibbs say on a podcast about Legacy that they're not even rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. They're just leaving them in order and going down.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I hadn't even noticed that, but you're right. It doesn't say that anywhere on the cover. So
yeah, I think that's really smart. It seems to indicate more that it's a change within, you know, the management and the teams and stuff creating the books rather than the books themselves. Like every other thing, it's like, oh, no, okay, the books got off track. It's the book's fault. We're going to redo mm-hmm. it. And here's, you know, it's this book now as opposed to this where it's like, here's the book that you want. We're taking care of things internally. We realize it's us, not the comic, that's at fault here.
And right, and they're not blaming the fans, or they're not blaming
too, yeah.
the characters. They're taking responsibility for the situation with that name, and they're just saying, I don't even know that they're coming out and asking you to trust them yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're at that stage. I think they know how bad this has been this last several years. And I mean, I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it than sales have dropped over 50% for Marvel Comics. Oof. And you can parse the numbers any way you want. Those are the facts. We've had months where one Marvel comic sells over 50,000 copies, which is an unbelievable number, you know. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to come. But I think in their mind, the very first step is let's just work on putting out good product that people want to buy and read and are proud to buy. You know, they're it's not part of a big mess that it's been. And let's just make people proud to buy Marvel Comics. And then at some point in the future, when they've got 6 months or 12 months of these, and I think when the new editorial team, when they've got their feet under them a little bit, then I think you'll see more. You know, I think it'll mm-hmm. open up after a while. But I think this year is about separating themselves, and that's what that term is all about. That's really not with a lot of... I mean, nobody's ever said that to me. That's just purely our...
Yeah.
speculation.
Right, that's not on a press release or something. That's
yep
at least nothing that we've read.
Hey, we got a lot of watchers. We got excellent. Matthew and John and Sean, and just want to say hi to everybody.
Hello, so. Everybody.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Yep, so we're talking about Marvel Fresh Start if you're watching us live on Facebook, or you'll be listening to us later on the podcast. So so what does Fresh Start entail then? Next thing is it is not necessarily every comic in the line, and we don't know how many books they're going to end up publishing, and we just don't know everything about it. And that's another indication that they didn't try to. There is no Fresh Start Legacy or Fresh Start One Shot. You know, there's no. Which is another indication. There's no one month or one week where you need to go to your comic shop to. And nobody's used the term universe changing either.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
I have yet to read, like, this book will change the Hulk forever. You know, like they're staying away from all that sort of stuff so far. And then there'll be a solicitation tomorrow that totally contradicts.
Yeah,
what
well,
you said, but
so far
we do our best.
Yep. So, but upcoming, the very next thing coming out, we're going to talk about the two books that are out so far, but Black Panther number one comes out next, well, as we record this next week. And that's a book we're really excited about, Darren.
Yes, we are very excited.
I put you on the spot.
You did. I've forgotten the name of the writer. I can never pronounce.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes, it's the same. Yes, the same writer as the current series. But yes, I was looking at the covers when we were going through the FOC to kind of pick out what we wanted, and there's some sweet covers for this book. I think it's Black Panther in space, from what I'm understanding.
Yeah, it's taking the character. Now, here's one where they didn't change the creative team, by the way. So, but you know, and most of the time they did. But you know, they're they've done this a lot over some time too. But I think like Ta-Nehisi has been developing story for a long time, and it's led up to this. So if you've seen the Black Panther movie, this is sort of taking Black Panther to the next level. But that's what we're looking for: is can we get fans in? A friend of ours who runs some comic shops said, 40 million people saw Black Panther opening weekend, and the issue of Black Panther that came out that month sold 23,000 copies. And that's we would never expect those to be equal. We don't expect to sell 40 million Black Panther comics, but I mean that number is just laughable. You know, it's you know, why can't we sell 400,000? That would still not even be 1%. It would be 1.1%. You know, but it would at least be a number that meant something. So that's next week. And then over the course of the summer, we have an Amazing Spider-Man number one, a Captain America number one, a new Doctor Strange, Immortal Hulk, Deadpool. I'm super intrigued by because Scotty Young is writing Deadpool.
Yeah, Scotty Young's writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's unfortunately not drawing it, but he's writing it. And I do love, you know, I Hate Fairyland is a ton of fun. So,
Seems like a good fit for that book,
too. Yeah,
I would
say so. Yeah.
I think it could be. I mean, you know, much like when Posehn was on, there's a possibility of it being too goofy either way also. But there's also, I mean, Deadpool's just this character that when you get it right, it really works.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's exciting, and
and there's a movie coming out as well, so that you know it could all just work just nicely. So
yeah, and we expect that's another thing about Fresh Start is, as many people listening know, because we're in the Comics and Cards customers group, for the most part over the last couple of years, one of the things that happened was these characters that you recognize from the movies have not been in the books. And this actually goes as far back as like 2012 and 13.
Yeah.
You would come in, if you saw the first Avengers movie, when people came in, none of those major Avengers characters were in the Avengers comics. And, you know, from a story perspective for people in the industry, there are a lot of great stories. But from, I just want to attract new buyers and build the industry, it didn't make a lot of sense. So, and there were a lot of great new characters. And again, a lot of those new characters are still here. No one has vanished. This isn't about getting rid of exciting new characters like Kamala Khan and people like that. It's about they're going to be there. They're going to have roles, and hopefully they'll even do better. If we could make the whole thing sell better, then they'll sell better than they ever have as well. So.
Brad dropped in with a question here, and he's asking, what's with the space theme? It says, not only Black Panther, but won't Doctor Strange be in space, too?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just did the order cutoff on Doctor Strange and was thinking the same exact thing. I mean, there's a movie called Infinity War in the theaters, and there's a big crossover coming up called Infinity War, so I would guess editorial said to some of the creators, we want some books to go into space. I mean,
is that why you think they're paired up in this Avengers book? Is that's going to carry over somewhat?
No, I don't think so. I think those stories don't have anything to do with each other as much. Well, we don't know. We don't know because Doctor Strange is going into space in the solicitation because the Eye of Agamotto has been destroyed. And so Tony actually gives him the ability to go into space. So it might be that one more thing to say before we keep setting, we're still setting the stage, like 15 minutes into this podcast. Darren and I went to Chicago about a month ago, and we went to a retailer summit. Well, one of the really cool things we did there is we sat in on the Marvel Comics Retailer Summit, and we were treated to the first ever public appearance by new editor-in-chief C.B. Cebulski of Marvel Comics. And I mean, I'm in love with the man. It's a good thing I already have a fiance, because that's my boy right there. So, but you know, see, and Jason Aaron was also on that panel.
He was, yes.
But the one thing, and so what Jason said was, if you think back to when Marvel was awesome, you used to know who was where in the Marvel universe. And he used the simplest example of Doctor Doom in Latveria. He said you knew how to get, you know, as a writer and a fan, you knew how characters got into Latveria, you knew Doctor Doom was there, and you knew how characters got out of Latveria. You knew the world. And so, yeah, you know, Brad, I mean, maybe these books are going to spin out, maybe Avengers is going to be a bit of a backbone, and then all these characters are going to spin out of the events of the Avengers. I mean, we certainly get a ton of characters in the first couple of issues of Avengers. She-Hulk, mm-hmm. Ghost Rider, the main characters, but also Doctor Strange. You're getting quite a array of characters right off the bat in this book. So,
and they Captain America and Tony Stark, they're sat in a bar and they even acknowledge the things that have come before, you know, the Hydra cap and all that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is acknowledged. So they're not just brushed out under the carpet. You know, they're talking about that briefly, but it, you know, it's interesting that they did that, and I'm glad they did.
Saying hi to Samantha, who just joined us as well.
Hello, Samantha.
Yeah, but that's a really, you know, that's the thing. It sort of feels like the first issue feels like a couple of different things. And Avengers number one came out last week before Free Comic Book Day. We still have plenty of copies if you want to check it out. And actually, this was a really good comic. I've gotten positive comments from people who haven't been reading Avengers. I mean, Brad Carstens, who's watching, is one of them. People really enjoyed this book and thought the art was great, and it was a big epic story, and it just really resonated, I think, quite well.
It,
you know,
it felt like a Marvel comic.
Yeah,
it did. Thank you. Yeah. It felt like a fresh start.
Yeah. I get it now.
We're so clever. Yeah. But Tony, Cap, and Thor, they're sitting in a bar at the beginning of the book, and they acknowledge, Tony says, "I was Coma Tony, you were Hydra Cap, and you're unworthy Thor."
Yeah, that's right.
So, and the thing is, I think it worked if you were a comic reader, but I think it also works if you are a moviegoer.
Mm-hmm.
Given Infinity War. Because these guys do feel like the old men who've been through it all now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I think as a movie fan, we're over 10 years you've been going to see Iron Man movies. I think you may not know the exact circumstances he's referring to, but I think it was easy to relate to those three characters. I don't know, mm-hmm. Josh, if that was...
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was a really smart set piece to kick it all off with, because I know that those three are not the original Avengers from way back when the Avengers comic first started, but those are the ones that people are probably going to be most familiar with from, you know, the movie version especially. And just in terms of Marvel, those are three of the, like, flagship characters, you know? They've been around for a good long time. So to see them sitting around a bar, or a table in a bar, having some drinks, discussing where things have been, where things are going. You know, there isn't drama between them immediately, you know, which seems like, and I could be wrong on this, so forgive me if I am, but it seems like that's like a place that is very easy to go to, is to have the heroes fighting each other thing. And we do get that a little bit when She-Hulk, you know, runs into... Ghost Rider. So we get that a little bit, but you know, we have this very solid foundation to build off of, and it's just, it resonates really well. It feels good to see them together talking this stuff out, you know, and then everything spirals from there. But yeah, I liked it.
In 2 years ago, when they were launching whatever Avengers number one that was, right, Jennifer Walters and Ghost Rider were part of the main cast. They weren't. I'm making an example, right? There was no Tony, Steve, and Thor. And so you would pick up this Avengers book and you'd be like, if you're coming in from the movie perspective, you'd be like, who the heck are these people?
Right.
But here, I used the word contextualize earlier, but they're using the big heroes to set the stage with these other characters. And that makes a lot more sense to me. You know, I want, if I'm paying $4.99 to read an Avengers comic, I want it to feel epic. And dang it, I want Steve Rogers in it. You know? Yeah. I do. That's what I don't mean that just as me. I mean, I think that's what people want. So, you know, if Avengers number one is any indication of what Fresh Start has in store, I'm very excited. The product was awesome.
Definitely. I mean, and the artwork, I enjoyed the artwork. Ed McGuinness, he's been around since the Wildstorm days. Yeah, solid artwork, some great storytelling from him. And it just had this vibe of like a cool Marvel comic. I just can't explain it. The first time I started getting that vibe was actually from Thanos, when Donny Cates took over Thanos. Issues 13 to 18, I started getting that vibe that, you know, Marvel comics, you know, this is how it should feel. This is what a good Marvel comic should be in. And those books definitely had that, and Avengers 2. And, I mean, do you want to talk about Venom as well?
Oh, yeah, we will.
Yeah, so, yeah, Venom, I might be jumping ahead, but Venom, which is the second second Fresh Start title. Again, with the...
We can't even keep it.
It has a legacy numbering on it.
There you go.
So it has issue one and legacy numbering. Again, top left corner.
Real quick, I'm going to stop you. Brad asked if the Avengers is a limited run series. Do we know?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's
going to
be a...
So one good way, if you're thinking about how and where do I start reading comics, and again, this, you know, sort of has to do with this issue 691. What you can do is you can go through the history of the comic and you can find the creator you like. And one of the terms we use is run. So great example that most people are familiar with is New 52 started. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo did a run on Batman. Mm-hmm. They did issues 1 through 52. So I suspect, you know, and like, but you take a guy like Aaron. Aaron's been writing this current Thor story for at least 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
And he's just now going into Act 3 of that.
That's right.
So I feel like Aaron is saying, I'm on the Avengers for the long haul. And we knew Jason Aaron was going to write the Avengers last year. I think around the time of Legacy, that was a rumor that was out there. It was going to be he and... the artist from Secret Wars who's doing the verses.
Oh, yeah. Ribbic?
Yeah, Saad Ribbic.
Right? Yeah.
And I thought at the time, Saad Ribbic can't do a monthly comic. What are you talking about? So I feel like this is just the beginning of what's going to be a long... I think there are things he's setting up. To me, I feel like in the first two issues, it's set up. I feel... And not just for the current villain either, you know?
Right.
I think we're at the beginning of what is probably going to be a pretty long story. But, you know, I mean, that storyline will end in, you know, 50 issues. Who knows?
So. Yeah. So.
But it's not like a 6-issue miniseries or
right.
something like that. So.
Yeah.
Next item up for bids, our second book. Darren, yes. Tell us about Venom.
Well, yeah, so I have to confess, and I think I've even put this on Twitter and Facebook, I've never really read Venom. I'm not a big character lover anyway. I'm more into the creative teams, so I've never followed characters specifically, but so Venom is not someone I've ever read, but knowing that Donny Cates was going to write Venom, and I've become a big fan of Donny Cates, I was excited, it came out I think a couple of weeks ago, and I might have even been last week actually, and I really enjoyed it. There's a lot about Venom I don't know, and there's a lot in the story that I don't fully understand, but I still enjoyed it, and there's still enough there to keep you interested. And I think Venom's going to become a household name, like Deadpool, possibly, by the end of this year. So it's a good jumping on point for Venom. If you've never read Venom, if you're interested in who Venom is and what he's about, I would say, you know, and you've got a good writer, and Ryan Stegman on art as well. I really enjoyed. There's some panels, some art, some scenes in that book that are just phenomenal. Phenomenal. So yeah.
No, it was a great looking book. Yes, actually, and I didn't know what to expect, but yeah, because I'm in love with Donny Cates, as most of the world is, but but you know, so far it's mainly
so many comic creator lovers.
Yeah. So we don't know, but you know, if you were a Venom fan from the beginning, this book is going to build on the mythology of Venom. Yeah. Eddie Brock has been back in the suit for a little while, and, you know, he's the main character again after all the things that have gone on. But this book acknowledges the time that Flash Thompson was Venom, and it is expanding upon the Venom mythology in some very probably unexpected ways. So.
Which we kind of thought he might, because that's what Donny Cates does. He brings something different, something unexpected to the mythology of the characters that he's writing, those established characters. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one thing that was really cool about this book is that I also have not followed Venom, so I don't know if any... anything that happened in this book was covered before in any sense, but I really got the feeling that you have an established character that they're getting just a completely different jumping on point, where it's going to go in these ways it's going to explain a lot of who the character is, but while also throwing in a lot of new stuff that wasn't there prior. So it's not like retreading old ground. Which would annoy the people who have been in with Venom since the beginning, but it's also not going to just completely forsake new people getting in who don't know anything really about the character.
And I think the key is that you can identify very easily with Eddie Brock. Anybody who's had, you know, any depression in their life, mm-hmm. or any tough times, you know, he's all, you know, the book opens with him thinking he's having a nightmare and then just being terrified that he's alone. But he's not alone because there's this monster that he's bonded with. And so the monster's got an identity. Eddie Brock's got an identity. But Eddie Brock's the human being that we are going to identify with. And that was the thing that stood out to me so much in this issue, was the sense of dread around Eddie Brock's life.
Yeah, I mean, and there are so many ways that you can take this, and depending on where Donny Cates goes with it, writing-wise, I mean, like you said, you know, if anyone who's had any kind of depression or anything like that can identify with this, I think even if you haven't had, like, clinical depression, you can still identify with this character and just having those turns where, you know, you have thoughts and feelings that feel alien to you. They don't feel like your own, but it's part of you. And so there's a lot of really good ground that can be covered with this, and I think it's off to a really good start. You know, there's some elements that almost feel Lovecraftian to me in this, yeah. Which I, of course, you know me and my love of Lovecraft. So, I mean, that's very intriguing to me, and yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I think I might start picking this book up and see where it goes. 'Cause
it was very good, and I don't think... I think over time it will become even better once we have a few issues. Yeah. You know, I think he said, Darren, I
think he was a tweet almost on the lines of, by issue 3 or 4, you're not going to believe what I'm doing or something. In a good way.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the last time he told us that, I mean, he told us all that in person on the podcast, or not in, you know, on the podcast. Yeah. And he was referring to the crazy stuff that was about to happen in Thanos.
That's right, yeah.
Leading all the way up to Silver Surfer with the Hammer of Thor and all these, you know, and I think, like, the reveal. We didn't even know who Ghost Rider was at the time.
I don't think we did. No, so, you're right. Yeah, so, no.
Which, by the way, I know we've probably said it 400 times, but if you have not read Donny Cates' 6 issues of Thanos, what are you doing? Like, come down to Paradox. We're open until 9 o'clock tonight if you're watching live. Buy them. It should be priority number one in your life.
At the moment, we have them all in stock. So.
Yeah. And the trade is coming, too.
The trade is coming, yes.
So. I wish we had more of the books we could actually talk about. Sorry, Josh.
I was just going to remind us that we're getting close to our time on this. I know we started a little bit late, so this may be a slightly shorter podcast, but we'll want to wrap up in the next 5-ish minutes.
Sure. So all summer long, I mean, what do these two books tell us so far? That these creators, not only are we getting a lot of creators and new things, but I think these creators are challenged to write – In the case of Jason Aaron, certainly something that feels like Marvel Comics,
yeah.
as mm-hmm. we said. And I think with Venom, to just challenge the character as far as you possibly can, I think that's really important in a day and an age where comics are $3.99 and there's all this other stuff in the medium. I want to pick up, I want to remember this comic. I want to pick up something that stands out to me, you know, and so I want to be challenged as a reader with my expectations. But I also want to feel like I'm at home. You know, like, mm-hmm. and if this is what Fresh Start is, I just really think there's just going to be a lot of great product back on the shelf. I do think it's going to take a while for fans to trust them.
Yeah.
They just do. And I'm ordering pretty aggressively on these comics. I've ordered a lot of Avengers and a lot of Venom. I mean, Venom is already the best-selling Venom comic I've ever had, like 5-1, probably. You know? and I don't know if they'll all work. I have no idea. But I think, you know, if word gets out there, and that's what a little bit of what I wonder with Fresh Start. I wonder if Fresh Start's aimed at the creators. You know, is like, hey, guys, like, if we start, you know, we clean up our house and we start here, word will get out. And eventually people will come back. And people, you know, people can get as mad as they want about what they did with character X, Y, or Z. At the end of the day, we just want to read good comics. And when you're back to giving us the comics we think we want, we're still going to come back and buy them. That's what's happened, I mean, every franchise on the planet.
Well, if you think about it, all the at least most of the people who are creating comics, certainly the ones that we've talked to, are doing so because they love comic books. Like, I don't think we've interviewed a single person who was like, oh, yeah, I just kind of stumbled into the Marvel office one day and they handed me a pencil and here I am. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I read these comics and it really resonated with me and I drew my own until finally I was, I got into the business, you know, and whatever. And so giving the creators that challenge and, you know, letting comic fans make these comics, it just makes sense.
You know, that's actually, so when we were in Chicago and we saw C.B. Cebulski, like, I mean, I'm telling you from the heart, I believe in C.B. Cebulski. And he's been around forever, and a lot of people already know who he is, and I'm not as much on, he isn't as much on my radar as I should have ever been. But, like, from a talent perspective, I can tell you this, he discovered Scotty Young. He discovered Scott McNiven. You know, these are the types of people that he, and why? Because C.B. Cebulski loves comic books,
mm-hmm.
plain and simple. Not only does he love comic books, he loves Marvel comic books. The first comic he ever bought was X-Men, Uncanny X-Men 121, which is an Alpha Flight issue. That's how he spent his youth. He said he has 300 long boxes of comics in his parents' basement. When he talked about the legacy numbers, he said, I pitched for this because I'm selfish, because I've got a run of Avengers and I want to know where the next issue goes in my run. Now that is who I want at the top mm-hmm. of the chain. I want that guy, like, who loves this, who loves what he's doing, who loves this company. I mean, the way he talked about upcoming projects like X-Men, he said, here, X-Men fans were disillusioned, right? He said, back in the day, the thing that kept you coming back to X-Men is there was always a question. There was always a plot line and a question that you were wanting to know the answer to. And he said, I've challenged all our artists, all our creators, to bring back those questions, but to do new ones. You know, bring back that mm-hmm. feeling, but to do new ones. And I just got, like, a chill up my spine of, like, that's the X-Men comics that I haven't had in 20 years, practically, you know? And, I mean, I just... There's a battle at Marvel. Marvel's in a weird position because they are owned by Disney. That means there is a money chain at a bunch of different levels. Obviously, they've got to be profitable for themselves, but they're answering to Disney, we really think. And there's a belief. We met another retailer who basically put it like this. Like, the people... Ike Perlreuter, the guy who's ultimately in charge above David Gabriel. David Gabriel, a lot of fans will know, he goes on, you know, he gives the interviews and goes on the websites and Twitter and all these sorts of things, right? But David Gabriel answers to Ike. Well, Ike Perlreuter, either he himself is the penny pincher, and so there are a lot of business practices at Marvel that are not retailer friendly, which ultimately means they're not customer friendly, or... You know, and so either he's a penny pincher because that's the way he is, or he's a penny pincher because that's what Disney wants, and he's got to produce those pennies to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse than that, he loves Marvel, and doesn't want Disney corporate to come in and take over. So if he's thinking, I got to pinch every penny to protect this company. For some reason to me, that's the worst of all scenarios, because it means that Disney's, the axe is just hanging there. And someday that's an inevitability that, you know, you can put your finger in the dike for so long, but then eventually it'll flood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that metaphor was any good at all. But
I think it works. It's,
you know,
people still know that story, right?
Yeah. So C.B. Cebulski, on the one hand, though, is in charge of editorial and I think is already making great moves. And it's just, it's going to take time. I mean, this company, it's been a mess. I mean, one other thing, and I never want to disparage anybody, so I'm not going to say the name, but like we've heard, Darren and I have heard over and over and over again how the previous editor-in-chief was unattainable, mm-hmm. was inflexible and unreachable. These are, I'm not making these words up. I mean, these are what people, creators and Marvel people have said to us, you know.
Yeah.
And so the fresh start, again, referring just within the company, I feel like, you know, they're telling their own employees that it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I don't know. Well, there you go.
Yeah, let's do anybody else have any other final thoughts as we wrap up here? I think Rich said a lot very eloquently there. Darren, do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So that's what we've got for Marvel Fresh Start so far, and I'm sure that we'll be back with more books and more takes on them as they come out.
Yes, Fresh Start to the X-Men is happening in August or September, guarantee you that. And, of course, we didn't even mention this, but the biggest thing is that the Fantastic Four is back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
in
right.
In August. Stay tuned for a really special promotion Paradox is going to do. We just did Ronald McDonald House for Free Comic Book Day. We're going to be doing Ronald McDonald House again with the launch of Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be family first with Comics First Family, and we're going to get you guys to bring in donations for Ronald McDonald House and take part in a big event when Fantastic Four releases. So,
yeah, stay tuned for that. And, of course, you can catch us on Facebook, Paradox Comics and Cards, also ParadoxCNC.com, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter. Of course, you can just stop down at the shop. Darren is here quite often and is
Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Sunday and is more than happy to chat with you about current books that are out and your old favorites and help you find something new or get
John,
you back in love with
John Rodenbiker says we've sold him on Avengers. Do you want this copy, John, right here?
The one that was made famous on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yes.
Darren and I and Josh will all sign it for you. So
it's got our fingerprints all over it. So
hey, we're gonna be back in about an hour with an interview with a comic creator of a book from Dynamite called Myopia. His name is Richard Dent, and he'll be with us at about 8 o'clock. So we're going off this channel to do a different podcast, and we'll be back right around 8 o'clock.
Yes, so stay tuned, folks. Check us out every Monday, the podcast on iTunes and on ParadoxCNC.com. And, until then, we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, be gone.